T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
It is your duty not to burn your own house down for anger with an enemy. It is your duty to fortify your own house so that you may be a house of refuge in times of organization. And now is the time to plot, plan, strategize, organize, and mobilize. We don't want to see one officer charge. We want to see 4 officers prosecuted and sentenced. We don't want to see targets burning. We want to see the system that sets up for systemic racism burnt to the ground.
Killer Mike's speech went on for about 8 minutes, somewhere in that ballpark. He spoke in Atlanta at the podium. There were police officials behind him and everything else. It was powerful. I mean, and so well done, so well delivered. And I believe it was kind of off the cuff. He didn't have any notes in front of him or anything like that. He's got a way with words, though, I'll tell you that. It was something to hear.
Yeah, he's great. And he even started out by saying he didn't want to be there, like absolutely did not want to be there, and then went on to, I mean, that says an impressive 8-minute speech, mm-hmm. I think, that I've heard in a long time. And, that was pretty powerful stuff. And I think important, too, coming from a guy who has police officers in his family.
Right.
So he's not just going up there to be anti-police, but you can still call out the wrongdoing of so many police mm-hmm. officers that we've seen recently. And I thought he had a really interesting perspective on the whole thing.
But then there's the other side to it. Like, you know, I understand what you're saying, Mike, but how long are we going to take this? How long are you going to keep telling us to scream at the top of our lungs and walk peacefully and things still haven't changed?
But I guess his point would be, you know, if you're upset, you're mad, mm-hmm. and then you burn down somebody's house, let's say. Like, let's say you're all fired up, you right. end up starting a fire, you burn down their house. Mm-hmm. Does that house getting burned down, is that going to impact the greater good here, or is it just going to kind of ruin that person's life?
Is it going to help your cause?
No. I think the cause, you're not thinking about the cause no more. You are now thinking about the pain that I deal with daily. You are mm-hmm. now going to feel my pain. That's where it's not about the cause. I think the cause,
But his point is you're inflicting pain probably on someone who does understand your pain.
But for the most part, you're inflicting pain on people you feel like don't understand your pain. And, you know, whether that's
I don't think they're even thinking of it. I think it's just, here we go.
Yeah, but see, I think you're putting the looters in there with the people that might be frustrated and turn to violence and rage, right? I think those are 2 separate people, right?
But, like, I feel like, to your point before, like, if a group of riders flip a police car.
Right.
Like, I can wrap my head around that. They're upset at the police. That right. is the police equipment. That is right. the police car. They flipped it over. If they go and destroy somebody else's thing, you don't know if that person feels the exact same way you do. You don't know. Like, I just feel like I understand there's going to be mm-hmm. consequences of these, you know, when the protests kind of spill out and mm-hmm. there's going to be some damage. I get it. But I just feel like for some of these people, you know, business owners who are mm-hmm. holding on by a thread, or, you know, maybe somebody that right. drove there and parked, and now all of a sudden they're walking back from the protest, which they were there and mm-hmm. they were supporting fully, and now they're like, now I got to get 4 new tires? What is this?
I agree with you, Rich, as far as, like, if you want to burn down the police precincts and you want to, you know, throw rocks through City Hall windows and, you know, and those type of things, flip the police cars.
That's like, who you're mad
right,
at.
Right, right. That's where your anger and frustration goes towards, right? I understand that part of it. I don't really – the purposes of looting and burning down businesses, like I don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. But all I'm saying is I understand the frustration that, you know, sometimes people deal with when they feel like, you know, my voice is falling on deaf ears. Because think about it.
Oh, yeah. No, but I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, when they're smashing a car, they are visioning in their head, like, this is a police car. But you're like, well, no, it's not. It's actually, like, your neighbor's car.
Right.
And now this poor guy, you know, has to get it fixed and whatever. But it gets spiraling out of control. I think it probably goes in with a lot of positive thoughts. And as we've pointed out time and time again, most of the really violent acts that we saw, I'm getting a sense that it was not by somebody that was there for their original cause.
I agree.
It's not even close. By the way,
both sides of the political spectrum, I think that there were left-wing lunatics out there. There were right-wing lunatics out there who were just trying to make the world burn.
Right.
They think somehow their political agenda is furthered. If I can start a civil war in this country, that's going to benefit me and my side.
They just want to take away from what the real message is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as bad as it is for some of those small shop owners or for even the bigger businesses, as bad as it is to have them destroyed, that really shouldn't be what we're focusing on, right? It shouldn't be about what happened in Minnesota, what has happened across this country, and what continues to happen across this country, and how is there going to be change, and less about, they couldn't even have a protest without violence. It's like,
Jake Tapper from CNN has gotten more audio from the President Trump conference call, and we've given you snippets of it saying, how's this going to help? In the snippet that Jake Tapper, and the other piece that he got, President Trump was quoted as saying, what happened in the state of Minnesota, they were a laughingstock all over the world. I've never seen anything like it, and the whole world was laughing. I don't think anybody was laughing.
Yeah, he is such like a small member complex. It's not even funny because people were laughing at him. People were calling him a coward. People were saying he was weak. I don't remember people saying that Minneapolis was weak. There's plenty of issues with Minneapolis, don't get me wrong, but I think he's taking the criticism that was thrown onto him, and he is now voicing it to all the governors, and he's like, we need to dominate our own people, our own citizens. Like, he's calling for a civil war, is what he wants.
Well, the thing is, you got to take the politics out of it, right? Because even in the Killer Mike thing, Killer Mike says, well, we need to then go vote and do change here, and you got to, vote out elected officials if they're not doing what you... The problem is, we need to, you know, first things first, you need to take away the politics. It's got to be black and white, right? Because that's where there's a divide. That's where there's an issue. It's not about politics. It's about one thing and one thing only, race.
I don't think racism should be political.
Right.
I'm with
you. It's about race. It's about black versus white. And why is there a divide there, right? Why? And that's where we have to start. Forget about the political, you know, changing this and going, because we had a black president.
But I do think, you're right.
We had a black president,
and
Eric Gardner got killed. So it doesn't matter who's in office.
I think who's in office can make it worse, is what we're probably going to be seeing here.
Mm-hmm.
Can also make it slightly better. Doesn't cure it, doesn't cover it up, doesn't solve it, you know, but like, yeah, I think you can.
I think whoever's
be in a little bit of a better spot, or you can end up being in a worse spot.
Right? Who's in office, Rich, is a Band-Aid over a gun, is a gun wound. Right? You slow down some of the bleeding, but at the end of the day, it's more about the race that we have to talk about.
Or in this case, I mean, there's a chance that you end up, you know, putting a second hole in, or just widening the first one.
Right.
617-779-7937. Steve's calling on the cell phone. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Oh, this is kind of a pick-me-up. What is that today?
It's that elevator music.
I didn't even know that existed. I mean, I don't have that. If you call me, first of all, I don't even know how to put you on hold, Rich. But second of all, if I did, you wouldn't hear that.
Maybe Steve's at work. You know, he's on a work phone or something.
I don't know. Brock's in Middleborough. Hey, Brock.
Hey, how's it going? I want to go back to what Wiggy was talking about, what's responsible for this the perception between, you know, white and black people. I got a hypothetical for you. After the show, Dale, you shoot Chris Scheim, and Wiggy, you shoot Rich Keith. Which one of those is going to get more coverage? What adjectives are they going to use to describe each situation? Because We know for a fact it's the same crime, and they are going to be covered completely different.
Right.
Why is that? How many people is that influencing? There's a lot of people to point fingers at, but if we're talking about a pie chart, mm-hmm. The news media has to own some of that piece of the pie, because it's unquestionable that identical crimes are portrayed completely different.
Right.
Even the words they use to describe them. And what is the motivation there?
Right.
Why?
And Brock, yes, you're 100% right, because I talked about it with when they were going to the state houses with assault rifles, right? And for just because they wanted their freedoms back. They didn't want to be the staying home mm-hmm. thing no more. They're viewed differently. And you ask the question why. I think it's just because we live in an America where I don't know what the number is, but for whatever reason, black people are viewed as being inferior, criminals, they're threatening people. I don't have the answer for that. And the only people I think have the answer for that are the white people and can go, why do I look at this guy this way?
Talking about the media, like the other real famous example, and you can get specifics if you want, but just mm-hmm. generally, like if there's a missing white girl versus if there's a missing black girl, like
right.
the level of attention that gets put on the white girl and like how that is the lead story and everybody needs to find her and everybody needs to know where she is and blah, 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 blah. Whereas the other, if it's a missing black kid, like, doesn't get nearly the amount of attention. How that started, where that mm-hmm. comes from, why that continues, I don't know.
Gabby's in Arlington. Hey, Gabby.
Hey, wow, thank you guys. Going off of this topic, I actually just wanted to bring my perspective coming from a white middle class family out in Rhode Island. You know, I don't want to speak on behalf of all white people, so I'm just going to be speaking on behalf of myself and my experience. But, you know, I grew up with parents who were very small-minded in terms of their own prejudices and how they dripped that upon my brother and I. You know, to this day, they will not claim that they have racism in them, but in fact, they do. And, you know, my brother and I, we grew up, and whatever my parents' opinion and words were, was everything to us. And, you know, I believed them for the longest time, and any prejudice that they held for people of color, I believed it. And, you know, it goes back to just the conversations that our white community needs to start having in the household. We never had conversations about our privilege. We didn't even know that we had a privilege. My parents still don't know what that means. It's really important to have those conversations coming from a white household, because we never had that. And that did us such a disservice in acknowledging how wrong it is and how racist that my parents and, you know, my grandparents have been, and even myself to some degree. And, I really want to stress that. And throughout college and later years in life, you know, I started having those uncomfortable conversations with my peers. And that was really the single-handedly biggest thing that has kind of opened my perspective and given me a new set of eyes to realize my mm-hmm. privilege and, you know, just the very biased background right. that I came from myself.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and I applaud Gabby for that, because until you're willing to have the uncomfortable conversation
right.
About, you know, whether it's the privilege that you have, because, you know, you hear it all the time, white privilege, and people are like, you know, like, until you have that, have the guts enough to have the conversation and go, like, Rich, you said it, I'm going to be looked at differently than you are when we're sitting in a room together. And why mm-hmm. is that? Why is the view of what people look at me being, you know, not as afraid or whatever the view might be, different? And that's not fair. And until you have that conversation, until you're willing to say that, okay, there's an issue that, you know, maybe myself, you know, you, Rich, don't particularly are the reason for the problem. But as a white person, you have to have that conversation.
Right.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, and it's time to trend.
How many times has Rich Keefe been wrong?
Zero. Ever, 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 ever.
Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
More news reports out there. Audio from the conference call that the the president had with the governors today. At one point, the governor of Maine, Janet Mills, told the president that because of security concerns, she was concerned about a planned visit by the president to the state of Maine this Friday. He then told the governor of Maine, now that he knows she doesn't want him to come, he's coming on Friday.
That'll show him.
Right.
I mean, it's just going to get worse. It's going to get ugly. Sick. It's going to get worse. He's provoking people now. He's also empowering all these police departments much more to ramp up all of their violence, essentially. Right.
And people are getting shot and killed. I mean, there was the former football player, I believe, of University of Indiana was shot and killed during the protest. There was another person I saw on social media. I mean, so there are actually people that are out there that, you know, because, you know, what happens when the president says, hey, listen, you know, man up. Straighten it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now they're just going to be using more. They're going to be, like you said, using more physicality. They're going to be more aggressive. And then, you know, what do you think the protesters are then going to do? Are we going to go down there with signs, or are we going to go down there with weapons?
Mm-hmm.
617-779-7937. Keith's in New Hampshire. Hey, Keith.
Guys, I just wanted to say, I think there's a real easy way to calm this situation down. This particular situation, I think, with this cop who had his knee on this guy's back, or neck or whatever. I haven't seen the video. I've heard about it. I don't want to watch it. It makes me disgusting. What they ought to do is this guy, he's had 18 charges of abuse of power. They ought to charge the city officials that allowed this guy to keep his badge and keep his gun with accessory to murder, follow through with these charges, and maybe that might send a clear-cut message to the rest of the country and say, we're not going to stand for this anymore. I mean, this is getting ridiculous, man. It really is.
I don't know the legalities involved. I don't know what the union contract is like. I don't know what the nature of all of the 18 complaints were about.
I know some of them were excessive force. I don't know if all 18 were, but I definitely read that excessive force was certainly on there a number of times.
Right.
And how so about it wasn't like a shock that it was this guy.
How about if they arrested the guy within 24 hours? Maybe we're not even at this point, right? Maybe if the DA down in Minneapolis says, all right, we're going to arrest this guy and the other officers, and we're going to charge them with murder, or we're going to charge them with accessory to murder, whatever it may be. Maybe you're not at this point, right? Because that's the frustrating part of it, too, is that it seems like it's clear cut, and the guy then doesn't get charged for days upon days upon days.
Which none of us understood. I mean, you looked at the video and you said, isn't there enough probable cause right there? And it took days for it to happen. The other three still hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. When the police chief who fired them said he thinks there's enough evidence to show they were complicit in the death of, I don't know, I'm not a law guy, but that's
where the frustration of black people come from because of how messed up the justice system is. You think about the Ahmaud Arbery case. I mean, it took them a month for them to even charge the two guys that killed him. You know, they initially were like, there's nothing to see here. You know, there was no charges brought against them. But that's where the frustration comes from. The frustration comes from black people towards the justice system, towards the way, Rich, you spoke upon it, and so didn't the caller, like how, you know, one person is viewed versus another, how black people are viewed. If a black person commits a crime, boom, they're arrested in 30 minutes. You know, same crime could be committed by a white person. It's like, all right, well, it might take them, you know, a couple days before they do anything. Or you know, people get off and, you know, black people are going to jail for, you know, 20 years for, you know, having a pound of marijuana. All I'm saying is that's a lot of the problem, too, is of how broken the justice system is towards black people. And that's why a lot of this frustration comes from.
Well, good news, because I think we've actually solved it. And I wasn't sure we were going to be able to do so in the 4 hours limited to us. But Mike Francesa has tweeted out. He says, we won't solve our problems or our differences through political action. We will solve them through business opportunity and education. It's the only way. I think we're done here.
All right, so get some business opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, he's got an education.
Education's good. Education on for everybody. I agree with that. But yeah, I don't. I mean, again, the idea of racism shouldn't come down to like politics. Like that, that part shouldn't. But I think politics isn't without its use here, and the fact that you could probably again make things better or make things worse. You're not going to make things the greatest of all time. Like it's you're not going to cure everything. There's no chance of that. But you could probably help push it in the right direction, or at the very least, kind of, you know, limit what happens from now over the next couple of weeks, where there's a real chance things could spiral even more out of control, where every night we're seeing these different protests that turn into riots, that turn into citizens versus the police. That's only going to escalate, and it's only going to get more violent, and now we're going to be seeing more losses of life because of what's going on at the top of the political chain.
By the way, I will just a very brief preview of tomorrow on the Dale and Keefe show. On the Dale and Keefe Movie Club, this week's winner was Uncut Gems, which I had not seen until yesterday.
My All Day and a Night got robbed, man.
I'm just saying.
That was good. I saw all of them on the poll, so those I voted for Uncut Gems, but I did see
and it
I've
did
seen
win.
Them all.
And now that I've watched it, good call by you guys. I've given you crap for Secret Life of Pets 2 and Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Good call by you guys on this one. I'd like to have seen more of Francesa, though.
Francesa was solid.
The bookie restaurant owner, I'd like to have seen more of that.
He was good. Francesa was good. Kevin
was
Garnett
Francesa,
was good.
Wasn't he? Wasn't he just Francesa?
I thought it was a good movie all around.
It was great. I liked it.
Well, that'll be tomorrow. We'll review the movie
I did
tomorrow.
Like Chimes Lovebirds, too. I saw that.
Lovebirds wasn't bad. Lovebirds kind of surprised me. I kind of like Lovebirds.
There you go. It's a good one. I was on board with Chime.
My guy Kamel showing up.
Yeah, Issa Rae. I thought it was I told you. It was the minority version of Date Night. No one had saw Date. Rich, you ever see Date Night with Steve Carell and Tina Fey? I said that's what Lovebirds was the minority version of that. If you've seen it, Date Night, you'd understand.
No, that's true. I thought All Day and a Night was
spectacular.
Pretty good. Yeah, and that would have been pretty topical, I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever that's going on now.
Well, that'll come up tomorrow on the program. Mike's in Wakefield. Hey, Mike.
Gentlemen, what's going on? Man, sitting on hold for a while. I got so many topics swirling through my head, so I'll try to keep it one track for you guys. First off, Rich, I really think that I'm glad that you said something about the president having like little member syndrome, because I couldn't agree with you more. I think all he's doing is going to make the situation much, much worse before it has a chance to get better.
Yep.
You know, when you talk about those protests like yesterday, you actually have three different types of people. You got the people who are just going there to protest peacefully, get their voices heard, and get the right kind of message passed on. Then you have the people who are there just to see the world burn. And those people should be treated with the harshest penalties, like Dale was saying earlier. You should be treated as a terrorist. If you're going there and you're inciting violence and you're committing violence and you're taking advantage of the situation, like being a bully, being a coward, like your Twitter eggs out there, you deserve to be punished the harshest. And I think that's the only way that we're going to really be able to discourage this type of behavior, because, you know, you can't stop the protest and you shouldn't stop the protest. It's very important for us as American people to get our voices heard. And I feel like government has been given way too much power, and that's taken a lot away from the people, which Wiggy was saying, you feel backed up against the wall. And sometimes, you know, the only thing people know how to do is to lash out, whether that's verbally or violently. But I also wanted to address something that Wiggy said earlier in the program and ask the question, you know, why are white people so scared of black people? And I can attest, as somebody who grew up very, very poor. So if there's a project or a ghetto in like Haverhill and Lawrence, I have lived in it. And somebody who, I guess some people would consider me a white guy, but I look like I'm Puerto Rican. I'm a big guy, olive skin. I have very Portuguese features. So a lot of people think that, you know, that I'm Puerto Rican. So I know a little bit about being racially profiled growing up in Haverhill, growing up in Lawrence, where the predominant, you know, where Hispanics are the predominant race in that area. But Wiggy, the question that I would ask you is this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the urban/hip hop community has done itself any favors in the past 20 years with the image that it's built up for the majority of the artists coming out? And don't you think that just as important as prominent white people speaking out on this issue, you should have more people like Killer Mike getting out there ahead of this?
I mean, I think the thing is this, right? Here's the issue I have, right? There are plenty of black leaders out there that speak. There are plenty of Killer Mikes. There are plenty of, you know, people. You see J. Cole, he's out there. He's out there marching with the protests. You see that all the time. But their messages go unheard, right? Because we're still in the same situation. We were in the same situation a couple of years ago. We talked about it with the Rodney King situation was, what, back in 1992. And, you know, NWA was, you know, in it. So we're kind of like in this situation all the time. So I would ask the caller, like, I think the way that we try to get some dialogue is, why are we being viewed differently? Why are you, because you look Hispanic, why should that matter that you're, you know, that you can't have a conversation or you're being treated a certain way? That's what I would ask. Regardless of what it is, you know, regardless of the environment I grew up in, if I grew up in a poor environment, regardless if there's crime in my area, it's just because I have this skin tone, you're instantly going to look at me differently.
By the way, we've talked about what to expect tonight. According to Steve Cooper from Channel 7 News, sources are telling him 1,000 National Guard troops are being deployed to Boston to keep the city safe tonight.
And you know what that means. That's just Rich hit the nail right on the head.
You're just amping people up.
That's it. It's like what we did with this whole coronavirus, right? Mm-hmm. When you scare the people, that's when things kind of go left and they get a little crazy. And now what you're doing.
Now it's not just going to be the police wearing helmets and shoulder pads and knee pads and carrying sticks. It's going to be everybody.
Mary's out in Chicago. Hey, Mary, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
What's good?
I want to follow up. I had the unique opportunity to grow up in probably one of the most integrated communities in Massachusetts 40 years ago. Actually went to high school with the Morris brothers, so never really saw black and white. But now I live in Chicago, and what's going on in Chicago, I don't know what's going on in Boston, but the last two nights have been absolutely open terror. This morning at 5 o'clock on the news, people are still, you know, looting. I mean, right on TV. It's got to be a war zone. They've shut down the entire center of Chicago. The Loop has been closed. You can't get in unless you work there and you have IDs. So it's really become very, very violent. And, you know, it's kind of, I think that plays into people's fear and adds to the racism issue because people are afraid. I mean, they've got people on TV driving up a U-Haul, smashing into buildings, you know, loading stuff out, gangs taking stuff out U-Hauls and taking off. And then this morning they started burning down dollar stores. So I think that's kind of, I think it's fueling the terror.
Right. And the media should be, and the media doesn't do a good job because they talk about the looting, the violence, the, you know, what gets in people's attention is the you know, the cruiser that's being burned, rather than going out there and going, hey, listen, we know that stuff's going on, but the bigger message, the more important message is that there are tons of peaceful protesters that are here to try to make a difference. Let's not shine the light on the negativity. And because when you shine the light on the negativity, just like that caller says, you instantly turn up the volume on the fear. And when you bring, and that means now we got to bring in 1,000 more National Guards. And you hear President Trump talking about, you know what, you got to
dominate.
Yeah, stop being weak, rather than just saying, hey, let's not let these morons, these looters, these people that are doing these crazy things just for their personal gain, let's not let them overshadow the bigger picture, which is the vast majority of people are down here for the peaceful protest. The vast majority of law enforcement are here to make sure people are safe and they get to go home.
Well, it's just got to be such an uneasy feeling, though, especially as you get into those protests, as they get into, like, later in the night, and you just don't know. Like she says, everybody's scared, and you're right, and you don't know even know who you should be scared by. Like, are the police... Are they going to go out of their way to, you know, maybe injure you? Or is it going to be a fellow protester that's just starting something? Or is it going to be not even intended for you, right? Like somebody else is throwing stuff and then they shoot at that person, but you're in the way and now you get hit with a rubber bullet or whatever. So you can see why there's just, you know, fear top to bottom when you're out there.
Paul's in Quincy. Hey, Paul.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Good. A few points I wanted to make very quick to add to Wiggy's point that if the officer, at least that one officer, was arrested immediately, we don't even get to this point. I think what blew the lid off the pot was that, first of all, right off the top of the bat, why have we yet not seen the body cam footage from the officers themselves? That is inexplicable. That's what I can't understand. Also, the press.
I'm not sure it would add anything dramatic. You're right. It. But we've seen literally video images, cell phone images from like every angle, practically.
We've seen we've seen body cam images from those police officers in Minneapolis.
Not from that one.
Oh, he's talking about the specific officer,
the George Floyd.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I've seen like, but it, for whatever reason, they put a black bar on everything.
Right. And that press conference. First of all, where everybody was, I think, was hoping that they were going to say something that we could hang they could hang their hat on, that justice was going to be served. First of all, it started an hour and a half late, and I was hoping that was a good thing. That, you know, I understand you can't get up there. They had a representative, I think, from the United States Attorney General's office, the FBI, the city or state prosecutor's office. I never saw four people get up there and say less. They start off right off the bat, and they saying, "We're sorry, the press conference." Started so late, but we were hoping that additional video would come forward. And I interpreted that to be, we're looking for anything to give this officer an excuse. This is the way I interpret it.
100%. No, I'm with you. I agree with that. I mean, they were looking for well, there had to be a reason. You know, George Floyd must have escalated it, or they were looking for something to sort of cover up the fact that it played out in the way that it did. I agree with you completely.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate the call. Thanks. 617-779-7937. The arrest right away certainly would have helped. Maybe had calmed the tensions a little bit, and I don't understand why it took so long. And the fact that you've still got three other officers who their own former chief is saying were complicit, and they're still out there walking the streets. Mm-hmm. I think that the community, excuse me, in Minneapolis, their frustration, which has been boiling all week long anyway, they've got to be sitting there saying, well, what do they have to do here?
Right.
Why isn't this?
Well, see, and I would take it a step further, Dale. It's not just the community. It's the black people that then look at it and go, wait a second. What the hell's going on here? Why is the justice system moving so slow? But my partner who ran a red light was arrested and has been sitting in jail for, you know, 6 months or whatever it may be. And that's where the problem lies with our two Americas. We see it all the time. And that's where the emotions, that's where everything starts to boil over and the frustration starts to set in, is because you then see it. And the other thing that, you know, that really upsets me, and I think it upsets a lot of black people, and what you see is that they now have to find the excuse on what that person was doing wrong, or why that person was justified in it, what they were doing. And I always go back to the Ahmaud Arbery case, because I see it all over, you know, that was something I seen all over the thing. Well, was this guy trespassing? This video of him. And then now here it is with George Floyd. They want to now start to dig into his background. Well, what type of person was he? And that's,
well, not only that, Wiggy, you're getting the, oh, well, he, you know, he had different, like, health concerns anyway.
Right.
So, like,
there's always an excuse.
Wait a minute, what? You're like, what is this about?
Right. There's always an excuse that they'll start to look for to maybe find a way out for that person.
John's out in Metro West. Hey, John, how you doing?
What's up, John?
Hello?
Hi, John. Go ahead.
Yeah, one second.
Yeah, we'll wait.
Sorry about that. How you doing?
Okay, go ahead.
What's up?
Well, first of all, I wasn't there, obviously. No warrant to a lot of people. It seems like the police really screwed up on this one, along with other situations, possibly. That's the first thing.
I'd say secondly, that's fair. It does seem that way, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. But I'm going to beat up on a few people here. I'm equal opportunity here. Pardon the facetiousness. Okay. And this wasn't a component in the situation. Okay. And this applies to white, black, Hispanic, you name it. Okay. When you project yourself in any way like a hoodlum, guess what you're going to get back for a reaction? Not necessarily from the police, but from anybody.
But let me ask you this, because here's where we differ. What is projecting yourself like a hoodlum?
The way you carry yourself.
What do you mean by that? Maybe because I talk different?
Maybe, yeah.
Right, and see, but that's where the problem is, right? So that's where the problem is. I don't talk the way...
There's more, but go ahead, keep going.
All right, so what else? Because I talk different, what else?
Let's put it this way. Let's say I'm going through a train station.
Yep.
Just to pick an example.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a young man,
mm-hmm.
Okay? He could be African-American. He could even be white.
Okay.
Or he could be Hispanic.
Right.
Okay? Or even anybody for that matter.
I'm following you.
And he looks like he's emulating the gangster lifestyle. How do you think I'm gonna perceive that?
But what's the gangster lifestyle? I mean,
oh god.
You got to just be honest, John. Come out, say, is it the way he's dressed? Does he have his pants off his ass? Is he wearing his hat backwards? Is he wearing a gold chain? Right.
You just nailed it. Right.
Right. Right. So be honest. So it's about how he's presenting himself, right? And so you instantly. Put somebody who might be wearing a gold chain, who might talk with a certain slang, who might dress a certain way, you instantly portray them as that's the gangster lifestyle rather than this is just the way this person dresses because he's into a specific style, right? So that would be like That would be like me going to a train station, right? Me seeing a group of, people, white guys with tattoos on, and maybe a vest on and go, okay, these guys must all be motorcycle gang members.
Maybe.
But isn't that wrong? Maybe they just like having tattoos and they like dressing a certain way.
I think you're oversimplifying it.
No, I don't. I think the problem is that's why we're at where we're at, is because you look and you carry yourself in a way that the media portrayed as to be the gangster.
Well, the media doesn't help this at all either. They totally build these things up.
Right, and but that's what it goes back to, right?
Sure.
So if you listen to hip hop music and this music, it promotes violence, drug use, and this, that, and the other.
Sometimes it's confrontational. Sometimes it's confrontational.
It comes off and maybe it's confrontational. Now you listen to that. You instantly must be living that lifestyle. But what about when you make?
I didn't say that.
But you're perceived that way. But you're perceived that way, right? Maybe I just like the music. Maybe I like The Godfather. Maybe I like watching Scarface. Maybe I like watching horror movies. That doesn't mean that because I watch these movies, I'm now then going to go out and emulate what I've seen on movies.
Well, I can take this a little further, but I can see I've kind of enraged you.
No, you didn't enrage me. We're having a conversation here.
Okay, but I'm gonna drop out. You have a good one, okay?
Appreciate it, John. Thank you.
I'm just trying to.
I wanted to figure stuff out.
That's all. That's all right.
But that's where we come up with the problem, right?
Yeah.
So that's where the issue is.
So it's judging a book by its cover, right?
Bingo.
So basically, rather than saying I look at a black person and a white person differently, I'm going to say I'm going to look at how somebody dresses and assume that that's what kind of person they are.
And the reason why
or jump to these other conclusions.
Right. And the reason why I'm jumping to that conclusion is because I watched New Jack City and Boys in the Hood, and the image of a person with gold chains and this, that, and the other was a gangster. Right?
You know who always dressed nice was that Ted Bundy. Very handsome
sharp
guy.
Sweaters.
Killed tons of people, sweaters, but he looked good, so nobody ever suspected him.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. By the way, the Minnesota governor's holding a press conference right now. He says the curfews are being extended and the National Guard will stand down. What could go wrong? He got off his call with the president and said, oh, yeah? Well, guess what? So that's what's happening out in Minnesota. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
The reviews are in.
First of all, I'm a Daleaholic. You guys listening to you two together is great.
Thanks for being on every day and entertaining us.
This is Dale and Keefe.
Hi, Dale.
This show has really grown on me. Rich is whacked.
Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
we'll just play Rich is Whacked on a loop. Because he is. Rich is whacked. Did you do anything during your week off? Did you go anywhere? Did you have fun? Did you?
No, there's nowhere to go. I stay here.
Unless you go to New Hampshire.
I worked Memorial Day when they said, do you want to work Memorial Day? I said, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? Sure, I'll work. What the heck?
Nah, I had to do like stuff around the house and like, I am not very handy, but I had to like put some stuff together and things like that. It was
I feel your pain. I'm not handy at all.
No, not at all. But so put some stuff together. I don't know how long it'll stay together, but did that and
probably had a couple extra pieces left over. Like,
yeah, what do I do with this? Toss that in the trash. I got nothing to see here. All set. Used every piece. And then, at night.
You always have extra pieces. And it is my opinion, by the way, I'm not knocking the quality of the product. It's why I bought them. I always have extra pieces from IKEA.
Maybe they're just messing with you.
I swear they are, because then you got the whole issue with your wife, right? She's saying, wait a minute. Why do you have those pieces? And I say, I don't know.
Look,
here it is. The piece is good. It's all put together. And she'll say, no.
Well, what's funny,
where
too
do those
is,
pieces go?
Because some of the directions, they tell you exactly how many screws are supposed to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it says screws, 8. Right. And then you're counting them and you're like, well, I got 10. So you're already giving me 2 extra ones. So, what am I supposed to do with these? In case I lose them or
make sure your wife doesn't see them.
You know what we need to get rid of? Here's what we need to get rid of. And I think a lot of people that put stuff together would agree. We need to get rid of the paper instructions. Everything should be, they should hand you a site that you can go to that you have video instructions on how to put stuff together.
Well, that people YouTube make a living. I was going to say, people on YouTube now make a living on everything. Anything that needs to be fixed is probably on YouTube now.
That's the way to go. Get rid of the paper instructions. Yeah. It should say, hey, in the instructions, it say, all right, go to YouTube and log in and, Google this person's name and here's the directions and they'll show you exactly how to put it together.
Or I love the ones that give you, they're 90% of the stuff you need is here. And then they're this is other materials that you don't have. I'm like, I have a lot of tools. Again, I'm not good with any of them. I have a lot of tools. This last thing I was doing, they're grab a rubber hammer. I'm like, I don't have a rubber hammer.
who has a rubber hammer?
What am I doing with this?
My dad probably had all that stuff, but
my dad definitely does. Yeah, my dad 100%. He probably has multiple rubber hammers, but I'm I don't know what to do. So I tried making my own rubber hammer. I took one of my dogs.
How did that go?
Yeah, horribly. I took one of my dog's tennis balls and I was I cut a hole in it and then I stuck a real hammer in there. I'm like, this should be a rubber hammer.
I think
it wasn't though.
An old person's walker with the tennis balls.
Yeah, right,
the
when
bottom.
You put the tennis balls in the bottom. I was like, this is gonna be pretty close. It really wasn't. It just was a real hammer with a tennis ball on it.
I will give you one heads up because on what else you got at the end of next hour, I will play for you some 35-year-old YouTube footage which will make you laugh. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh.
Wow. Okay.
35-year-old YouTube
footage.
It's going
back a long time.
It is.
That somebody made available to me earlier this morning. Didn't even
know it existed.
I didn't
even know they had YouTube 35 years ago.
Well, no. It's YouTube from... They posted it. It's 35-year-old stuff.
They had a video. So somebody had to take one of those old... Remember when you had the VHS tape popped into the camcorder?
Yep.
Yes.
They had to take that out, and then they had to convert it, I guess, and then upload it to YouTube.
Well,
so
that does
in and of itself is a miracle.
Go to the YouTube right now.
I'm on it.
By the way, according to the National Guard, and this is the National Guard telling us now, this is now the largest National Guard deployment in history, surpassing Katrina, with 66,700 soldiers and airmen activated for domestic operations, approximately 45,000 supporting COVID response, 17,000 now supporting response to civil unrest.
Now, I never thought I'd have to ask, but how many people in the National Guard do we have?
I think it's a lot. I think it's 1 week in a month, Rich. So
they're going to all be in there.
Well, they've
this
now
is their weekend.
According to the National Guard, they've now deployed more National Guard people, men and women, than they did during Hurricane Katrina. I'm sure it'll go well.
Oh, my God.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Andy's on the cell phone. Hey, Andy.
Hello.
Hi,
what's up, Andy?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? I'm sorry. I was on hold there. Just wait.
Okay.
Listen, I just want to bring something decent out of this. I mean, if there's any decency. I grew up in the early 1960s in Chelsea. And, I was very poor, but I was fortunate enough to live in a neighborhood with a lot of diversity. You know, some of my best friends are Black, Spanish, et cetera. And, you know, in the 60s, I mean, that was a tough thing, even for a little kid to grow up and, you know, hear comments, you know, the N-lover, you know, these things. And you know, but my ultimate goal was the same as my Black and Hispanic friends, you know, not to be poor when we got older and to always stay friends and to be decent. And I guess my point is, you know, I'm a retired police officer also, and I'm kind of heartbroken, you know, that you know, there's such a divide, you know. I thought things would get better as I got older, you know, getting into this, you know, the different phases of my life. And you know, I remain friends, and I do remain friends with those guys. And I guess my point, one of my points is, you know, that growing up in a diverse neighborhood like Chelsea, you know, it made me a better person. But I'm just so saddened by what's going on, not just, you know, just what's going on now, but I mean, 2020 has been a horrible year for everybody, pretty much.
No, 2020 yeah, sucks.
It's been the worst. It's been the worst year for everybody.
It has right. sucked from start to finish. As I said, I believe the date today is March 93rd, because it's just been one thing after another. And I can't think of a good thing about 2020 so far. Can you?
No.
Not a single thing.
Listen, no. Be happy you're still above ground and not beneath ground.
Good, so, point. Hey, good point.
All right, you got a point there.
That's yep. Good point. Listen, that's what
one.
I know
that's
we
one.
Live in a crazy world, but I tell you what, I'm glad I'm on the right side of the dirt and not the
yep.
wrong.
That's a good point.
Thank you, Wig. Thanks for bringing us back to reality. We appreciate you as always. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe. Wiggy's in the house with us here on Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.